The producer definition in the PPWR, a critical mistake. Hello everyone. Today we're diving deep into a critical issue in the new packaging and packaging waste regulation, the PPWR. If your company sells packaged products across borders within the EU, this is something you need to understand. Here's the key takeaway. If you sell to a reseller in another EU member state, that reseller is considered the producer of the sales packaging, but, and that is new, you remain the producer of the transport packaging. At first glance, this might not seem problematic, but when you take a closer look, you'll see that this distinction is crucial. It creates significant compliance risks, bureaucratic complexity, and contradictions with the core principles of the EU, and this is therefore a critical error that needs to be addressed. But, well, let's break it down step by step. To illustrate the issue, let's take a real-world example. Company A is based in the Netherlands and sells products to Company B, a distributor based in Germany. Company B resells the products in their sales packaging. However, before doing so, Company B removes the transport packaging, which becomes waste at their facility. Now, who is the producer of the packaging? To determine who is the producer of sales packaging and transport packaging in our scenario, we must look directly at the definition of producer in the PPWR. So let's analyze it in relation to Company A, based in the Netherlands, and Company B, based in Germany. Step one is the sales packaging responsibility. According to Article 3, number 15, letter B, you are defined as a producer if the following applies. The manufacturer, importer, or distributor is established in a member state and makes available for the first time from within the territory of that member state and on that same territory products packaged in packaging other than those referred to in point A. So, why does this apply to Company B? Company B is located in Germany and first places the packaged products on the German market. The sales packaging around the product is not transport packaging, service packaging, or primary production packaging. These are the ones which are covered under letter A. And since Company B makes the packaged products available on the German market from within Germany, it falls under letter B and is responsible for the sales packaging. Perfect. So, step two is let's consider the transport packaging responsibility. According to letter C, you are defined as a producer if the following applies. The manufacturer, importer, or distributor is established in a member state or in a third country and makes available for the first time on the territory of another member state directly to end users transport packaging, service packaging, or primary production packaging, whether as single-use packaging or as reusable packaging. So, why does this apply to Company A? Company A ships the products from the Netherlands to Company B in Germany. The shipment includes transport packaging, so e.g. pallets, stretch foam, strapping, boxes used solely for the transport purposes. Since Company B removes and disposes of the transport packaging in Germany, Company B is the end user of the transport packaging. By the way, which is the end? Who's the end user? End user means any natural or legal person that resides or is established in the union to whom a product has been made available, either as a consumer or as a professional end user in the course of its industrial or professional activities, and that does not make that product further available on the market in the form supplied to it. And because transport packaging is explicitly listed in letter C, and Company A is the first to make it available to an end user in Germany, Company A is the producer of the transport packaging under letter C. Well, really? Why does letter E not apply? Good question. According to letter E, you're defined as a producer if the following applies. The manufacturer, importer, or distributor is established in a member state and unpacks packaged products without being an end user, unless another person is the producer as defined in point A, B, C, or D. Why does this not apply to company B? Company B does unpack the transport packaging, but company B is the end user of that transport packaging. And letter E only applies if the entity unpacks products, but is not the end user of the removed packaging, so it's focusing more on logistics companies. Since company B is the end user of the transport packaging, letter E is simply not applicable. So company A remains the producer of the transport packaging, and here's where the problem arises. Why does this exception make no sense for transport packaging? Well, if you ask me, the exclusion for transport packaging appears to be an unintended oversight or misinterpretation of the original intent. Maybe it was initially meant for e-commerce packaging, but in its current form, it leads to serious inefficiencies and unnecessary bureaucratic burdens. Here's why. Transport packaging, such as pallets, stretch film, or strapping, for example, is often shipped across multiple member states and even to third countries. The producers placing empty transport packaging on the market simply do not know what is happening with their packaging at a later stage, but they need to register, report amounts placed on the market, and pay costs for collection and recycling. Accurate reporting requires feedback from every recipient, leading to significant administrative complexity. And furthermore, this increases costs and the risk of double reporting and double payments for compliance schemes. This is why the exception made for service packaging and primary production packaging makes sense, but applying the same logic to transport packaging does not. Let's zoom into our specific scenario to see just how absurd this gets. Company B is established in Germany, imports packaged products, and sells them in Germany. That's why they are acting as a producer already. They are probably registered in their member state, have implemented structures, systems, reporting, etc. They are responsible for the sales packaging purchased from company A. Besides, they probably have implemented structures to collect and recycle the transport packaging received anyway. But company A, as a producer for the transport packaging, now has to appoint an authorized representative to register as a producer of the transport packaging used to ship their packaged products to company B. Wow, this is bureaucracy at its worst. One deal, one shipment, yet two different producer obligations? That's not just inefficient, it's a compliance trap that adds unnecessary costs and administrative chaos while creating artificial market barriers. So, how could a solution for that problem look like? To correct this inconsistency, here are like two solid fixes and one partial solution that helps but does not fully solve the problem. First one, remove the word transport packaging from letters A and C. This would align responsibility with the first entity placing the packaged products on the market in a given country. The importer would then take responsibility for all packaging it brings in, except for service and primary production packaging, which remains a justified exception. Second solution, remove letter C entirely. This would align responsibility with the importer, company B, for all packaging in their market, avoiding unnecessary administrative work, eliminating the inconsistency in the definition, and simplifying compliance by implementing a very straight EPR and member state approach, which is then comparable to the one established for batteries and electrical and electronic equipment already, by the way. Third solution, clarify that transport packaging in letters A and C refers only to unfilled transport packaging. This would at least prevent the unintended consequence of forcing suppliers to retain responsibility for transport packaging and to take care of related registrations, etc. But it is only a partial fix due to the administrative burden to report and deal with placed on the market amounts correctly as described before. So true simplification requires a more fundamental change. To come to a conclusion, this, in my opinion, is not just a minor oversight. It has major implications for businesses operating across borders. If not fixed, it will create unnecessary administrative burdens and undermine the very efficiency the PPWR aims to achieve. This isn't just inconvenience. It's a fundamental flaw that could cost businesses millions in unnecessary compliance obligations. And if you agree this needs to change, act now. Share this video, engage with your industry associations, and demand a fix. If businesses don't speak up now, we'll be stuck with a regulation that adds costs, complexity, and confusion with zero real benefits. By refining the definition of producer and ensuring that responsibility aligns with market realities, we can create a regulation that is both effective and practical. You see, it's time to demand a fix. And the question is, will regulators listen before it's too late? And lastly, if this issue affects your business, make sure to stay informed and participate in the regulatory discussion. And if you found this video useful, give it a like, subscribe for more updates, and let's work towards practical EPR solutions. Thanks for watching.